You're at 657 AM, radio with the truth in its voice.
Good evening and welcome to Thursday Live on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday evening, the 23rd of February, 2023. Thank you once again, Yuan, for that wonderful program. Remember, it's simply called Spectrum. My name is Gotmabi, and this program is Thursday Live. It starts now. It started actually at 6, and we're going all the way until 8 o'clock this evening. I hope that you and I will have a great time. And of course, I believe that you had a great day. And yeah, looking forward to some blessings that have been set aside for this particular day. His mercies are new every morning. I hope that you made use of all the blessings that come with each and every new day that he blesses us with. It's 11 after 6 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Tell you what, I think there's a lot that it's on our plate that we need to look at, more especially now that we have just received the budget speech, and of course we're having the Temurudi Bishop Helebi to really, analyze it as so that we can be able to understand whether it's something to write home about or not. And of course, he's with us on the line amongst the things that we will be discussing with him this evening. Murudi Helebi, evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, Murudi, and good evening to the Radio Pulpit listeners this evening.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at the 2023 budget speech, Murudi. What does the 2023 budget speech promise to South Africans? What are the big items for consumers there?
Murudi, thank you very much. We have seen that the budget speech that was delivered by Minister Enoch Godongwane, it's I will use this word, it's more a balanced budget, balanced towards the poor in terms of cushioning the poor. You would understand that in the past 2-3 years the global economy has had a major impact on South African economy, more especially in terms of price inflation, food inflation, the cost of goods, especially the cost of basic goods, good stuff or basic food. So when one looks at that budget is a budget that seeks to continue to cushion the poor. We have seen the area of social spending, an increase in social spending, an increase in education, an increase in wealth, which are three big items that are important for about 80% of the population. We have seen also an increase in what is called the sin tax, and for the reason that those are the factors that create more pressure on the health system in terms of cancer, in terms of accidents, as a result of people either who drink or smoke, and therefore we have seen a major increase in that space, which in actual fact for us, it's a very big welcome. Now, if we begin to unpack that a little bit more, we also realize that in terms of this budget, Murudi, the spending, there's an increase in critical infrastructure spend. So government is increasing investments in infrastructure spend in terms of shovel-ready projects and maintenance. Maintenance is very important because if you look at the state of our roads, the state of our roads in the townships, in the villages, everywhere, we need to fix the issue of potholes. So there's an allocation to that effect. And there's an allocation towards sustainable growth, which is quite good. There's also an allocation that was given, which is much needed towards resources, and I've spoken about this, towards health, towards education, as well as police and the defense. Remember that in terms of security in the country, we have you know, major issues, major problems. So the police also received quite substantial allocation, and the minister also presented, you know, a proposition with regard to the microeconomic reforms in terms of network industries. He spoke about energy, he spoke about telecommunications and logistics. We know, and we'll be talking about that, there is a huge problem in terms of energy, and he has also made provision for industries that will be installing solar panels, where he will be giving them solar tax breaks for putting in solar. The social relief of distress grant, or the social grant, the minister has actually retained the social relief of distress grant, which in our view, or in my view, is really a lifeline for many poor, unemployed families and unemployed young people. It is that 350. However, he did make a mention that social distress of relief, or social relief of distress grant, is actually making a way or creating a foundation for the introduction of the basic income grant. And that, in actual fact, as well, you know, it is actually good news to ordinary the South Africans. There's many as well that has been put aside, Moruti, for to address disaster relief, recovery, and repairs. If you look at the issue of climate change and what has been happening with the floods, with adverse weather events that we have experienced, the floods all over the country, in Gauteng, in KZN, it actually required that there's money that is put aside to address that.
All right, we are still with Bishop Marcelo Helebe right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily combat. Now let's look at the reactions of the markets. How have the markets received the budget, Moruti, and has it had an impact on the economic outlook for the year?
Muruti, you know, the markets have been very muted, surprisingly. They've been very muted. They did not react negatively. They did not react, very positively. I think because if one looks at the major announcement that was made, especially regarding no tax rate increases, the minister said, despite the big items that the minister has announced, the minister did not announce personal tax increases for individuals, which in actual fact for individuals it's a good news, but for the fiscals, the markets, I think, are taking a wait and see approach. We have not seen the rent tank. We have not seen the markets moving in the wrong direction. However, Moruti, what the minister made mention of, or cautioned us about, the minister cautioned us that we could be, our economy could be grey listed. Now, what it means when we get grey listed, it means, you know, from the outlook that was stable, we could be stable but grey, meaning stable, no growth. So in the next couple of years, we may need to see more packages that will stimulate more growth, that will actually make sure that our tax base is grown, that will actually make sure that, you know, our spending does not exceed our fiscal connection. He has also announced that the National Treasury will be doing research and development of tax incentives that will be extended for 10 years, which in actual fact is good, because it says good tax-paying South Africans The government is looking at measures so that the pressure is not more on the poor or the middle class that are faithfully paying their taxes. Some incentives will then be put in place, but the need for policy environment that promotes performance of productive sectors, that is going to be our main focus going forward. If our productive sectors do not grow, we're talking about mining, we're talking about manufacturing, we're talking about agriculture, you know, if these three, and we know where the inhibiting factors are, load shedding, energy is an inhibiting factor. Those productive sectors of the economy, we need to get them working and churning again, because once that happens, we will then move out of the grey listing and move into a more positive outlook for our economy, Muruti.
Still on that one, Muruti, of electricity and all that, let's look at the developments at around Eskom and load shedding. Is there some hope in the horizon to fix the load shedding crisis? In your view, what should Eskom focus on to fix this crisis sooner?
Muruti, I think you know, as an analyst in this field, you know, I've made my views clear even before. You know, the trajectory that Eskom was taking under the leadership of the CEO, despite the fact that he was addressing one of the major ills, social ills in society, which is corruption. However, in terms of operational performance, Eskom was dismally failing, because plants, if you look at electricity availability factor, the electricity availability factor of some of the plants was as low as 22%. Now, 22% is really unacceptable, Maruti. The overall Eskom electricity availability factor was actually down to 49%. Hence, we are now at the worst load shedding that we are going through right now. And now that there's a clean start, there's a clean break, there's a board, there's a new board, I think there is some hope, but I think that hope is not as soon as we may anticipate, because, you know, what Eskom needs to do, in my view, is that Eskom should focus primarily on getting those plants that are connected to the grid, that are supposed to be giving us electricity, fixing them and getting them back to give us 65% electricity availability factor. That is very, very important. We must continue to make sure that we continue with the IPP process in terms of the procurement process. We must convert some of the old and retired coal-fired power stations, not demolish them, but convert them to gas-powered generation. If we do that, we will be able at least to close the gap and take the country. If we do have load shedding after the next 12 to 18 months, we will only have level 1 or level 2. This level 7, level 6 that we are currently going through is not sustainable for businesses. Small businesses, many small businesses are closing down. People are losing their jobs because of this problem of load shedding, and it is affecting the economic outlook, and that's what pushing us into the gray area as well. So the developments around Eskom, the minister has actually made an allocation to deal with the Eskom debt. We have had the announcement as well from the president during the SONA that Eskom will then be moved out of public enterprises into a new ministry, which is called Ministry of Electricity, which we will hear what the details are. But I think it would be helpful if the purpose for it to go there will be to project manage the process, to project manage the crisis by attending and addressing these things and fixing the crisis. We cannot continue on this trajectory any much longer, Murutuaka.
We're still with Dr. Murutisi Lohelepi on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. So soon we'll be having a Minister of Electricity, or should I say the Minister of Eskom. I hope it was not your idea, that one.
No, Not at all. But remember that my view was that, I think, you know, with the problems that Eskom was facing, it was misplaced in public enterprises. It was not receiving the focused attention that it needed to focus to turn it around. And I think the next step will be to get a turnaround specialist to turn the business around.
Okay, and I hear you.
Fixing what we spoke about and dealing with the liquidity problem and the debt problem that Eskom is dealing with. And the minister has also cautioned all of us, and I think South Africans need to do this, to hear this, that it is likely that all of South Africa might have to go on prepaid electricity so that we deal with this problem of electricity theft. Because electricity theft is not only cable theft, but it is people people who use electricity by bypassing the system. Now, to address those little things, they are very important because cumulatively they will be able to help us turn the system around.
We saw, I think about 2 years or so ago, the city of Soweto taking the lead in, dealing with this head on, in a sense that they went to big businesses who were actually they disconnected them and they find them big amount of money there. Let's hope that one also will be addressed sooner or later. Let's look at 2023, Muruti. I know for sure that we all know that it's going to be sort of a turbulent year. It's not going to be an easy year for us. Looking at the international market recessions in the countries that we never thought would experience such recessions. I'm talking third world countries, Europe, and it's not easy when you look at the countries like America. The economy is not doing well. Lots of job losses there. And obviously we know that once these things are happening in those countries, there is no way that we can escape. Can we, Muruti? But anyway, let's look at how the church can pray. When we look at this year, Muruti, what is it that the church can do? And I know for sure that we really need to know what is happening in and around us.
Yeah. Muruti, let me just touch on three main prayer points that I think the church should focus on. The first one is the issue of global peace, Muruti. Global peace is it's moving into a tipping point at this point in time, with Russia pulling out of the nuclear proliferation treaty at any time. We could have the world getting into a third world war. So the church needs to have that as a prayer point, because what has happened is that we have seen, key ministers out of Russia, out of China, and out of Germany, Britain, and the U.S. coming to visit Africa and coming to South Africa, sometimes even at the same time. So even though the war might be out there in Europe, but this tells us that somehow we could find ourselves pulled into the wars that are taking place. So we need to pray for global peace. That's number one. It's very important. Number two, the church needs to pray for economic stability. You know, the world economy right now is in topsy-turvy. You know, it's upside down. We don't know whether we are stagnating or we're in inflationary environment or stagflation. I think what is happening is that we are stagnated, but it's what is called stagflation at this moment. So we need to pray for stability in the global economy. We need to pray for stability in the South African economy as well. We need to call for economic truce. The fights that we see, economic fights that we see between the rich and the poor, and the tensions between the rich and the poor, they are not helpful, because we are getting an economy that is shedding jobs, that is not creating jobs. The third and the last one, the church must actually pray for a prophetic voice. The church needs to speak prophetically and speak hope. The church needs to be able to say, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, you know, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will come down and heal their land. We need to pray for the healing of our land, healing of Africa, and healing of the world. Those are the three prayer points, Moruti, that I would urge the church to say, let's focus on these prayer points. These three will be able at least to bring us some stability to be able to absorb the tough 2023. What we have seen so far, we have not seen what 2023 is going to bring. There's already signs that we might have food shortages this year, because other countries are beginning to hoard grain, others are beginning to hoard you know, even electricity. You know, we might, when we come to the end of the year, see that this year was the worst that we've ever seen in our lifetime. But the church needs to be on its knees, and it needs to pray and plead with a God who's the answering God.
Absolutely. Moruti, thank you very much. Please give us your contact details.
Moruti, my contact details are 083-229-
Mm-hmm. 5807.
That's 083-229-5807.
Moruti, hi, Papat.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Ke Ramuruti Siluhelepi, right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It's just gone 28 minutes to 7. Sani Bonani, Dumelang, Huye Nant, eh? Good evening, wherever you might be listening to this radio station from.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.